Welcome. You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay and MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks for listening. We have a great guest to chat with today. Let's get right into it. Hello. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's your host, Chris. As you know, if you've been listening, Muskoka Unlimited podcast, 88.7 FM The Bay, every second Sunday morning at 7 a.m. or www.muskokaunlimited.com online all the time after we have taped the show and it is aired. Today, returning guest who's been with Mr. O and with myself and Hunter's Bay Radio for, wow, since almost the beginning when it was still online before it even reached the airwaves, Dr. Lowell from the Sport Lab. Dr. Lowell, thanks for showing up.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. We've, probably 10 years. It's 10 our 10-year years? Anniversary.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you've been on the show almost since you started, I believe, right? Yeah. And various shows that we've done, guys, not just this one.
Yeah, barking on my banter about something. Yeah. Yes, I have for 10 years.
Dr. Lowell and myself were with Hunter's Bay Radio before it was cool to be with Hunter's Bay Radio. Let's just say that. So we're here today. We always talk about wonderful health things. You always provide a ton of education and knowledge and advice for the listeners, which we love and appreciate. Today we're talking about recovery. Recovery, it comes in different forms. So if you want to give us a little like introduction into what we're going to be talking about, that would be awesome.
100%. So when we think recovery, some of us have different ideas about what recovery could or should be. I come from a world of sport, so I see it as two kind of different things that we work with clinically. One is recovery from an injury, and it could be an extreme injury. It could be a calculated injury, or it could be an uncalculated injury. And what I mean by that is an uncalculated injury is you falling down the front steps of HBR. That's not planned, right? Yeah. And or a calculated injury where you've been out playing soccer, which I know you love to play, and you blow your ACL.
Yeah.
But the calculated injury is then you got to go in and have that ACL replaced, right? Or somebody who's got really bad arthritis and there's bone degeneration and they need a knee replacement or a hip replacement. That's a calculated injury that then can be planned for. And we'll talk a little bit about the recovery of these calculated and non-calculated things.
Okay.
But there's also recovery for, again, we'll go back to you playing soccer. You know, you go out and you play, and what happens after that?
Sometimes I'm sore. Sometimes my body's just like wants to lie down and not move for 3 days.
Exactly. Right. So there are aspects of doing physical activity that your body needs to adapt to.
Okay.
And that is really what recovery is. So the way that we like to have people think about recovery is think about your optimal state.
Okay.
Now, when we talk optimal state, you are not just an organism made of muscles. You are made of bones and nerves and different organs and blood and a variety of other things, right? Lots of hormones floating, maybe more hormones floating around with you than other people. I don't know. But hormones, right? The endocrine system's involved as well.
Yes.
So all of these systems we need to consider, because you're a multi-system being, in what your optimal state is.
Okay.
When you go and have that inadvertent trip down the front steps of HBR, there's lots of things happening. It's not just, oh, I hurt my knee, or I hurt the muscles around my knee, or I sprained or strained something.
Yeah.
There's lots of things happening in our body.
Okay.
And for you to get back to where your optimal state is, we need to consider these things.
Okay.
And that's really what recovery from an injury is, whether it be calculated or non-calculated.
Okay.
But it's also recovery from sport, right? You go and you put strains on your body, and the recovery allows you to increase your optimal ability. Right? You get better at what you do.
Yes,
right?
Because you're improving. Yeah, when you're recovering, you're improving your muscle memory and your muscle and whatever it is. But and
you're adapting.
You're adapting 100% to what you've been doing. Yes.
Absolutely. So now your new state is better than your old state.
Gotcha.
Okay. And what we need to think about in any form of recovery is what is the optimal state that individual needs to be in to get back to where they were or better than they were before the problem happened. Okay. Whether it be doing some sport or whether it be twisting my ankle or whether it be having my knee replaced.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So that's really what we're trying to do is get you back to a state of optimization.
Yes. No matter where, whether like you said, it's let's get back to where I was.
Yes.
Because maybe I'm at the peak that I can be at.
And most of us are not.
Most of us are not. But just, and I know I'm not. But I'm just saying maybe an individual is at the peak where they can be at. They can't. There's no more room to grow. But if their peak is really high, we want to get them back to that high peak.
Exactly.
And then there's other people, like you just said, is maybe they can grow. Maybe there's an optimal level that they haven't hit yet. Maybe there's that top gear, that top, you know, performance level they haven't hit yet, as far as their individual, and we can get them there through the right recovery.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And that's part of I really like to talk to my clients and people that I work with about preparing as best we can so that the body has the capacity, these multi-systems that we work with, has the capacity to reach as close to that state of optimization.
Okay.
And if you are going into something that is calculated, like a surgery, in a non-optimized state, how do you expect to cut back to an optimal state when you're not in there in the first place?
Oh, right? I see what you mean.
So there's some preparatory things that people can do.
Gotcha.
We can talk about them as we go along today too.
Awesome. No, so I like that. So you're saying just because, you know, you're hurt and you're going into surgery or you're injured and you need to go into surgery doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing things to continue caring for the rest of your body.
Yes,
and exactly. Making sure that your body, the rest of your body, as much as possible, is in the best state it can possibly be, is in the best shape it can be, in the best, you know, physical, mental, everything state it can be, so that when you have the surgery, you go in and come out and now you can recover, like say a knee injury, like we've been saying, that knee injury can recover back to its best state because the rest of you is already in that best state.
Exactly. Gotcha. That's exactly right. So, so if you have, let's use the knee as an example. Yeah. So I was just working with a client in the last few weeks who just had a knee replacement done a week ago. And we started work in preparation for this at about the beginning of December.
Yes.
So the knee replacement's in end of January, but the work started the beginning of December.
Okay.
This particular client decided they wanted to treat themselves as though they were a professional elite athlete. What would happen if they were a professional elite athlete knowing that they needed to have a knee replaced?
Yes.
So what we needed to do was make sure that these systems, as many as we could, are primed to be able to take the stress of the surgery and the knee replacement. So what we ended up doing is we went through a very specific strength protocol. Because if you have more muscle mass around a joint, you're able to stabilize the joint better.
Gotcha.
Right? We also know that in surgery, you are going to be what's called anabolic, or you're going to actually break down some of your own muscle during surgery. And then post-surgery, because you can't use the tissue the same way.
Yes.
So if we go in knowing that, well, let's put a little bit of muscle mass on.
So that when it deteriorates,
you're
back to normal.
Exactly, right?
Okay.
Versus fighting an uphill battle after you've lost it.
Yes.
To try to gain what normal is.
Yes.
And usually when knee replacement's done, we're not in our 20s or 30s.
No, it's like 50s or 60s.
Or 70s, exactly. 70s, and we're already in a suboptimal state because our bodies don't want to repair themselves as efficiently as what they would when we're, you know, 20 somethings.
Exactly.
So going in that preparatory, from that preparatory phase is huge. And exercise is one of those things. Strength and resistance training is one of those things.
Okay.
But nutrition can also be done in advance.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we look at some of the biochemical science and the sports sciences around muscle growth, muscle hypertrophy. And we also look at some of the hormonal things that go on in tissue.
Okay.
There are certain vitamins and minerals that we should probably be trying to get into our system early that take time to build up.
Okay.
Okay. So what are the one, like, let's talk Mediterranean diet. You're probably pretty familiar with Mediterranean diet. I'm hoping.
Yes.
With a last name of Okutsi.
Yes.
If not, you're going to be banished forever. So in the Mediterranean diet, there is particular foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids, which are
fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Fish. And we might get it from nuts and seeds as well, yeah, or avocado or whatever. Yeah. Right. So these omega-3 fats, which we know are important, not only from an anti-inflammatory perspective.
Yes.
Okay. But they're also good from a neuroprotective perspective.
Okay.
Which is a whole nother topic. Like, we talk about how fatty acids are helpful in brain health and concussive injury, but they're helpful in an anabolic effect as well.
Yes.
And helping build muscle.
Yes.
So it's just not the inflammation component, okay, that we're constantly being bombarded with in pop culture.
Yes.
We know a lot more about EPA and DHA, which are the two primary omega-3 fatty acids that we find, okay, in fish.
Yes.
And we accumulate these in our bodies. And the accumulation in our bodies takes time.
Okay.
So again, if we can bioaccumulate by taking lots of them and it takes a month to accumulate,
yes,
we need to make sure that we're getting sufficient quantities a month before,
gotcha,
the injury.
Gotcha. Right? Okay.
Another one's vitamin D.
Yes.
We're deficient in D. We're looking
everybody
where we are,
is, yeah,
right? We can be out in the beautiful sun like it is today.
Yes.
You know, at whatever, 20 below.
Yeah.
With our hands and our face exposed all day long.
Yes.
We will not get enough ultraviolet B radiation,
yes,
to get enough vitamin D to maintain our vitamin D status.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. All right, everyone, we have to let our sponsors have their say. 88.7 FM, The Bay, MuskokaUnlimited.com. You know what you're listening to. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. If you've been listening, we're here with Dr. Lowell. If you haven't been listening, we're still here with Dr. Lowell from the Sport Lab. Good friend of the show. So, Lowell, you were talking about, you know, the fatty acids in fish and nuts and avocados, which are all things I love. And building up, how they take a little bit more time to build up and have an effect on your body.
Yep.
And then you transition a bit into the vitamin D part, as far as, and which we mostly get from the sun, from the most of us, right?
Yes.
Now, what were you saying about how if you have your hands and face exposed, even in a sunny minus 20 degree weather all day, we're not going to get enough vitamin D? Like, what, like, go along that path for us, just so we can all know that, what, and tell us what we can do to help with that.
Yeah. So we live at a latitude where the sun changes between, it's why we get snow, right? The,
yes,
intensity of the sun isn't as harsh as it in the winter as it is in the summer.
Yes.
And we don't have as much vitamin or ultraviolet light, particularly ultraviolet B radiation,
yes,
which activates the vitamin D,
okay,
that we utilize for bone health and,
yeah,
neurologic health and immune health. So,
yes,
based upon where we are, we cannot get enough sun exposure unless you're out in your G-string in the wintertime, Chris.
Yeah, okay.
Which may or may not happen. I don't know what goes on behind
nobody
HBR.
Nobody wants to see that.
But that is not going to... The turtle's going to be in its shell, Chris,
yes,
in that particular,
yes,
case. So we need to get our D somewhere else. So we can, yes, get a certain amount through nutrition.
Okay.
But most of us do not. So supplemental vitamin D is something that most people should be considering,
okay,
in winter months. But it takes time to hit maximum stores.
Yes.
Just like those omega-3 fatty acids.
Yes.
And by supplementing based upon kind of current guidelines,
yes,
it can take almost 3 months for somebody who is deficient to get back to normal state.
Seriously, eh?
So we are all now suffering... Probably some of us are suffering from seasonal affective disorder, SAD,
yeah,
right? And maybe it's COVID affective disorder this time.
Oh,
I don't,
gosh,
know, but
the amount of stuff we're being,
exactly,
affected by emotionally, mentally, yeah, and even, yeah, physically is insane right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the vitamin D plays a role in that,
okay,
in the wintertime outside of kind of the COVID era.
Okay.
And we see it happening in January, February, right?
Gotcha.
So we really should start supplementing when our sun exposure drops in probably September.
Okay.
Right? So going back to knee replacement.
Yes.
If they have not been supplementing, we need some time, right?
Okay.
And really, we only had about 2 months for the particular client I was talking about. We may be still on the low side of norm based,
yes,
upon supplementation rates. And if we need 3 months, which is kind of what the statistics suggest, to get them to normal status. Well, why go into a surgery in a suboptimal state?
Yeah, there's no point. If you don't have to.
But you know how many people are? A vast majority of people are not doing fundamental things that can help improve the recovery. So,
and it's all little stuff too.
It's like, very little stuff. It's simple.
It's not like... Yeah, it's not like, you know, you're saying, hey, you know what? This is going to be an uphill battle and it's 10 hours a day of commitment. Mm-hmm. It's just little things like diet, you know, choosing the right foods that supplement those vitamins that you need supplemented and or the fatty acids or whatnot, right?
Yeah.
And doing little things to just keep yourself as close to that optimal shape as possible so you recover better.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
And then
See, folks, I'll dumb it down for you. It's all good.
So it's really quite simple to go in a prepared state. There's really, over the course of the last decade, there's been some really interesting research around prepping for surgery now.
Yes.
And anesthetists are starting to use, in conjunction with surgeons, what's called an ERAS protocol. It's called Enhanced Recovery After Surgery.
Okay.
And usually... there has been question around, well, you can't have anything before surgery. You can't eat or drink anything. It's bad for you.
Yeah.
Well, what we know in surgery is there's a few things that happen or we run the risk. Number one is your body sends messages to the brain that it is injured.
Yes.
It upregulates a bunch of things, inflammatory compounds and other, changes the way that your body is doing things. Okay. It will start breaking down tissue.
Yes.
To help... fix up the tissue that's been damaged.
Okay.
That's just human biochemistry. It wants to do that.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing that can happen is in a protective state, you become resistant to your insulin.
Okay.
Meaning that you can't get the sugar into your cells. It's floating around your bloodstream because the brain says, I need to go into a protective state.
Yes. Right?
The body starts changing the way it is actually responding to hormones like insulin to keep your blood glucose high. Well, too much, right? Protectively, right?
Yeah,
so you can grab a sugar and use it for an energy source if you need. That's not necessarily a good thing. We don't want to be hyperglycemic, right? That's not good.
Gotcha.
Right? The other thing is that there can be an increased risk of infection because your immune system takes a hit.
Yes.
So this ERAS protocol is very simple.
Okay.
And some of your listeners may be asked to do this. It's basically drinking about 400 milliliters of a carbohydrate solution.
Yes.
Usually within a 2-hour window of their surgery.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all
they have. It's a very specific carbohydrate that's used.
Yeah.
But it can help mitigate these side effects.
Gotcha.
And the hospitals love it because when people get better and recover faster,
they're out of there faster.
Exactly. And when they're out of there faster, it means less money on the healthcare system, right?
Less money on the healthcare system. Another bed open for someone who needs it.
Yeah. Well, and people generally, if you can get out of the hospital and get back home,
you recover better.
You're in a more comfortable space and you've probably got more supportive mechanisms around you. And so there's things that really work well with this kind of enhanced recovery after surgery protocol too. So that's something that some people don't know exists, but it does.
Oh, I love that. That's good. See, I like that. Yeah. If I have to go for surgery, I want one of those things.
Well, and that's
carbo drink.
Exactly.
I want the carb drink.
Yeah. It's the one time that the no carb people can actually say, no, you probably should be having carbs.
Yeah. Well, carbs are not bad.
No.
Carbs are okay in moderation and used the right way for the right situations, right? Like carbs are not a bad word.
Well, people make it a bad word.
But they're not a bad word.
If we think about what we're supposed to be doing, you know, go back to our Mediterranean diet, right?
Yes.
Lots of vegetables and fruits.
Yes.
Vegetables and fruits are carbohydrates.
Yes.
Nuts, carbohydrates.
Yes.
Beans, carbohydrates, right?
So huge carbohydrates.
I think
beans.
What people mean is refined.
Refined, which is a different story.
Yes, exactly.
Because the refined is the ones that are high in sugar and...
Well, they're all sugar.
They're all sugar.
It's just proportionately,
yes,
they're devoid of other things that
are good for you.
Exactly. The other nutrients that go along with it. Exactly. So.
Yeah. See, you guys are learning stuff.
So,
all right, we've got about 3.5 minutes. So, but we're going to, Dr. Lowe's sticking around. We're going to do two shows back to back. There's going to be a first part and a second part. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more, don't worry, you'll have an opportunity. So let's just summarize this part. Like, you know, I love the fact that you're talking about preparation for surgery. That's something that anyone going into surgery needs to think about.
Yep.
We're talking about keeping yourself optimized as far as your diet, your vitamins, your levels. Is there muscle work you can do depending on what it is?
Well, usually yes, because okay. We want to try to gain muscle mass, right?
Yes.
So that's protective.
Yes.
But it's also protective in that you're going to be stronger,
okay.
Right? There's some argument as to whether if you know that you're going in for knee surgery,
yeah,
and you're going to be doing a specific set of exercises post, why not train the brain early?
Yes.
So this is a really neat kind of new concept.
Okay.
In that you're not doing strength exercises, but you're doing movement exercises.
Movement, okay.
Right? So you've probably been in the gym.
Yeah.
At some point in time in your life.
Yeah.
And you do a bunch of exercises.
Yeah.
And you're on this really steep gain curve, right? You're being able to lift more, put more on the bar. And that goes on for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
That's actually not strength gain.
Okay.
All. Strength gain. So there is a large component of your nervous system adapting to the movement.
Gotcha.
And you're training your nervous system in the movement. And that can take about 21 days, 3 weeks. So if you can train your nervous system to do the movements that you are expected to do after surgery, okay. But do it before.
Yes.
You've got this brain muscle connection, this nervous system connection done before you call the body on doing the movement. So you're not trying to train a movement in a deficient state.
Yes.
Your brain's already been trained the movement.
Now it's
you're just engaging
it.
The movement.
Gotcha.
Right? So that's another different way of starting to look at rehab, but early prehab.
Prehab. I like it. And just to compare for people, it's like you learned how to shoot a basketball, you learned how to dribble a soccer ball, you learned how to, you know, stick handle and skate, you know, on the ice, you learned how to run properly or jump properly or, you know, throw a disc or whatever it is, right? Or throw a baseball. So you've learned all these things, and that movement, the reason why you can do it so well is that repetitive movement and learning that movement, and your brain connects with your joints, your nerves, your muscles to do that as best it can.
And you don't have to condition your nervous system to, you know, if you have somebody who's never played soccer before and say, go out and dribble this, they're like tripping over themselves and tripping over the sod and whatever else. But, you know, somebody who's conditioned to do the movement, they just do it.
Yes.
Because it's a learned response, riding a bike, right?
Yeah.
Let's learn to ride the bike.
Yes.
Before the knee is replaced.
That's it. Perfect.
Versus trying to ride the bike
after
where you're already going to be in a compromised state, right? If we're looking at kind of a metaphor to
use. I like that. Yeah. That's a great metaphor because the majority of society has learned how to ride a bike at some point, right? And it's like you say, once you learn, you never forget or whatever, right?
Exactly.
And this is the same concept. Once you learn that recovery motion and movement you're going to be using in your rehabilitation and your rehab, then it's just you're never going to forget it. You're just going to do it naturally,
exactly.
Right? And your body's like, oh, yeah, I know how to do this, right?
And then it's
just a matter of being able to work on everything else and getting yourself back to the optimal state. I love that. Oh my gosh, we gotta go. All right, that's show one down. Dr. Lowell and I always have these long conversations. It's great. That's show one. Thank you, Dr. Lowell, for coming.
My pleasure.
We will, Dr. Lowell's sticking around, so listen to us in 2 weeks again. It'll also be on MuskokeUnlimited.com, all that good stuff. You know what you're listening to. Chris and Dr. Lowell will be back next week or in 2 weeks, and thanks for listening. Bye, folks. Thank you. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay or www.muskokeunlimited.com. Stay tuned for more wonderful episodes on our show.